All right, so it's Thursday, June 6th, and I'm at the Velocity Church offices talking to Pastor Justin Jenkins. But before we get started, I'll go ahead and read the consent statement. So the Department of Religious Studies at the University of Kansas is conducting a research project that seeks to preserve and provide a publicly accessible record of the history of various churches and other religious organizations in Kansas. We seek to collect as many stories, information, and documents as possible with the goal of creating, over time, a major repository of information on all kinds of religious bodies in Kansas, past and present. We would like to record your memories of your experiences in religious organizations. We expect that each interview will take about 1 hour. We assure you that you are not obligated to participate and may discontinue your involvement at any time. Since we are trying to create a public record of Kansas religious history, we are primarily interviewing persons who agree to let their interviews be available to the general public through the Religion in Kansas Project website and to be identified by name as the person who was interviewed. Should you have any questions about the project, there are Professor Isaacs or Professor Tim Miller who you can contact. And if you have any questions about your rights as a research participant, you can also contact the University of Kansas Human Subjects Protection Office. So Justin, do you have any questions? And do you agree to participating in this interview?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So then the first thing I'll do is go ahead and have you tell me a little bit about yourself as a person, sure. Your background, anything you'd like to say.
Yeah. Well, I grew up, my father was a pastor, so I grew up in the United Methodist Church and mm-hmm. kind of had this, very denominational church background. I also, when I was 11 years old, my dad left the Methodist Church and we went overseas, and so we were missionaries. So in addition to being a pastor's kid, I was also a missionary kid, and we were on the mission field for 3 years. And kind of got to see different aspects of the Christian faith and, you know, how that's played out and manifested even in different cultures. And so then from that time, I graduated from high school when I was 17 and then moved out of the house and I left the country and went to France for a year. And that was kind of my time where I was on my own and really had an opportunity to explore, you know, what my faith meant to me, if it was going to be meaningful, it was going to have to be pursued on my own. I didn't have anybody pushing me or encouraging me in that. And even just seeking out different churches, you know, from very, you know, traditional Catholic settings to missionary works over there and Baptist settings, things like that. And again, just seeing how the Christian faith played out. He talked about Christianity being a global movement, so seeing really what that looks like in other countries. And so really it was in France where I was on my own and, you know, doing my own thing that I really felt, I would say, you know, being a pastor, that I felt God's calling to go into ministry. So, you know, it was just an impression internally, kind of like a gut feeling. And I felt like that was what I was supposed to do with my life. I think all of us want to do something significant, something of value. And I felt that's what my thing was that I was supposed to do. So I began to pursue that path. Went to Bible school and ministry training, things like that. And then I began to serve and help out other ministries. Mm-hmm. So I helped out this one ministry that would do lots of things overseas. He did evangelistic works in the Philippines and Africa and things like that, and started Bible schools. And when I was helping him, we were starting children's homes. So I went to Thailand and started a children's home while I was there for kids who were involved in prostitution. And then came back, started serving in a local church. And from there, a bit of a more detailed story, but from there, after serving there for a period of 7 years, is when we moved to Kansas to plant Velocity.
Great. So then, what was the call that you felt to come out to Lawrence, of all places, for Velocity? And tell me a little bit more about that experience.
Sure. So, you know, serving in the local church, I was in Minnesota, And I didn't have any preconceived ideas when I went there to help. I just wanted to, I feel like anybody who's a believer, you know, should get plugged into the local church and find their place and begin to, you know, to serve where they're able. And so I just started serving with small things. I've always kind of had a niche for marketing and branding, and this church didn't have anything like that going on for them. So I began to help with some of that. Then I'd serve with kids and all of those areas. And then, you know, just kind of through a period of time, I began to become more involved. I'd lead high schoolers. Then I'd have the opportunity to speak. And eventually, I became the associate pastor there. It was a small church, so really not impressive by any means. It was like 100 people. But I would you know, preach maybe once a month and do some things like that. And so while I was there, you know, earlier on, I had gotten married. My wife and I had moved there. And while I was there, things were going well. There was nothing wrong on the surface. I was, being a small church, I wasn't paid. So I was working a job in addition to serving in the church. I was making great money doing that. The church was healthy. I was happily married, and I have a kid. And, you know, life was great. But within all of that, there's something that, you know, Christians, to use Christianese, we call like a holy discontent. It's like that where, you know, everything's great, there's nothing wrong on the surface, but inside felt very dissatisfied, you know? And so in that process, I just began to pray and see God about what that means and what the source of that was from and what his next steps would be for me. And so it was really over a period of 2 years from when I first started praying about it to when we finally made the decision to move, that that we served at that church and then finally made the transition here.
So why Lawrence, of all places in the States?
That's a great question. You know, when people ask me that, there's a few things that kind of go into that. One, my wife and I were fairly newly married, and when you're newly married, always you dream about the future and what that might hold for you. And so for us, we'd both kind of grown up in the Midwest. I'd grown up in a lot of small towns in Iowa and Oklahoma and places like that. My wife was from Iowa, so we were definitely attached in the Midwest. Kansas seemed like a central place, and my idea of Kansas was Kansas City. I'd never really spent any time here. But just as we talk and dream about the future, you think, man, Kansas seems like it might be a nice place to live. The why Lawrence question, though, is a better question. And the best way I can answer that is, why is your favorite color your favorite color? And you can't always describe it, but it just is, and you can't shake it. And for me, it's we had talked and dreamed about Kansas and thought, maybe that's where God's calling us to. So what I did was I began to stare at a map and just pray and ask God, okay, Lord, I believe you put this desire of Kansas on my heart for a reason. I don't know why exactly, and I don't know where, but I'm willing to go anywhere. And again, just looking at a map and just sensing it. Now, this didn't happen physically, but spiritually, it's kind of like this, where you know, like you get an idea or something just kind of ignites. Like, I equate it back to those 3D pictures, you know, where you stare at them and you go cross-eyed and just like an image pops. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, didn't happen physically, but just like in my spirit, internally, it's like Lawrence just popped off the map and caught my attention. And I didn't know anything about Lawrence. I'm ashamed to say I didn't even know the Jayhawks were from Lawrence.
I didn't until I came here too. It's okay.
So it's kind of embarrassing on that regard, but anyways, I didn't know anything about Lawrence and began to do some research. I had a friend that I went to school with who lived in Topeka, and I called her up and asked her, I said, what can you tell me about this city? I don't know anything about it, but I told her that I believe God had called me to plant a church, and I had this city was, you know, striking me. And so I asked her, and she kind of gave me the lowdown on it, and just seemed like it fit a lot of my personality like a glove. And so, you know, I'm kind of more of a city into culture, into the arts myself. My wife is kind of Iowa, small town girl, and so of course we didn't know this until we moved here. But Lawrence really is the best of both worlds, right? Because one, you are close to Kansas City, but Lawrence is not small. I mean, it's 100,000 people, and so it's got the conveniences of a larger city, and then there's such a sense of community here that you can feel right at home, even if you, wherever you live. So.
Awesome. That's a really interesting answer. So then, once you got here and got settled, then how did your vision for what Velocity would look like take shape, or how did you begin Velocity?
Yeah, so when going back to talking about that time serving at a church in Minnesota, as I began to seek God about it, as I began to pray about it, the thing that I began to come away with was I was always active in inviting my friends to church. I've always had more friends who aren't Christians than friends who are Christians. And so with that, I'd always invite my friends to church, talk to them about God, and have these kind of conversations. And because we were friends, had a real friendship, they would come and check out church. And the problem was that they'd come to church and they'd enjoy it. And they'd have a good experience in some ways, maybe feel better after they left. But they often wouldn't come back. And the reason for that is multiple reasons. But one, they felt like they didn't fit in. Because everybody uses Christianese, Mm-hmm. The church I was serving at, it was a good church. I mean, they were fulfilling what they thought they needed to fulfill. But, and it was a non-denominational church. But they really weren't non-denominational. Everybody wore, dressed up on Sunday and wore ties and maybe not dresses, but dressed nice, And so to an average person, we just don't dress up to go places. We don't dress up for work hardly. And so to come into an environment like that, you stick out. This church was not evangelistic in its nature. And so anytime there was a new person, it's like, well, they're not part of our crowd. I mean, it's like not meaning to, it's just obvious that, okay, who's this person? We don't know them yet. And I think it's really an overwhelming experience. So it was out of that experience, not putting that church down or anything like that, but it was out of that experience that I wanted to plant a church or start a church that I could invite my friends to, a place where people could belong even before they believed, and a place that people would leave feeling encouraged, and ultimately a place that would introduce them to Jesus Christ.
So what does that look like then? What is a place that people who aren't familiar with the church like to
Yeah, be? So, our mission statement, because the church, a lot of different things, but the church is an organization in many ways, and so just like every organization, you should have a mission, what you're setting out to do. Our mission is to bring those far from God near to life in Christ. And the reason we say far from God is because sometimes people hear that and they think that's somebody who's not a Christian, or that's somebody who's doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. But I believe it's much broader than that. I believe that there's many people who maybe grew up in a Christian home, maybe they grew up even attending church, and maybe they have a certain belief about who God is or about what the church is supposed to be. But if they, if there was a scale, from 1 to 10, and 10 was close to God and 1 was far away from God, they would have to put themselves somewhere on the scale that's not close to God. And so that's really why we exist, is to bring those that are far from God near to life in Christ. And so what does that look like? Well, it's not about a bunch of religious traditions. Our church, we hold to the essential doctrines of Christianity. It's a conservative theological belief system at its core. But within that, we believe that it's that Christianity is not about the kind of songs you sing. It's not the way you do church. It's really, at its core, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So everything that we do It's about bringing that person far from God into life in Christ. So we want friendly greeters at the door. We want our church experience. We have people that come in. We have new people every Sunday. And we're a relatively new church, so the good thing is we're all new. We're all in this together, so the new people don't stick out. And so you can kind of come and you can kind of feel and you can kind of listen and you can experience this. And, you know, I really believe that within that, accepting Christ, that's a big decision. It's not something you do just because you heard a good message and you felt compelled in that moment. It's really from experiencing, okay, this is how a believer lives. This is how a believer endures pain. This is how a believer, you know, walks through a trial. This is how a believer deals with the loss of a loved one, or how a believer goes through a divorce. And you know, kind of get in this environment and you see that and experience that and say, you know what, I think that there's something that I'm missing. I think that I've seen how these other people live their life, and there's noticeably something different about the way they live their life than the way I live my life. And I listen to this pastor, and what he's saying is making sense, and it's dealing with the things I'm going through. You know, I think that I need to make this decision. And so that's kind of what we do. But with our church, I really value creativity. So we put a lot of emphasis on a creative expression of the gospel. What I mean by that is that, you know, I believe God created heaven and the earth. He's the creator of all. So he's the most creative being there is. I believe he loves creativity. And I believe that the greatest story ever told, the story of our redemption, deserves the greatest presentation that we can give it. And so we do a lot of things that are different at our church, and we, you know, intentionally so. We do things, one, because I think that church should be the most exciting hour of a person's week, not something that people, you know, dread coming to, or like, not something to feel like, you know, they're doing their religious duty by going to church. Mm-hmm. I feel like something they should look forward to. And so, yeah, that's kind of the little bit of the why behind what we do.
Mm-hmm. So then if I were to come into a service, yeah, what could I expect? What would it look like?
Yeah, well, I think naturally, because I'm young, I'm in my 30s. I'm 30. We naturally draw people that are younger. But we have people of all ages that come. So what are you going to expect? You walk in, you're going to hear, you know, like pumping music over the sound system when you walk in. Sometimes it's worship music. Sometimes it's music they've probably never heard of, but like, you know, house music and dubstep and, you know, just something that's, you know, set in a good atmosphere. You're going to see signs clearly marked where to go, where the auditorium is, where the restroom is at, where to take your kids if you have kids. There's coffee and water and some refreshments that you can get as you find your seat. Inside the auditorium, we meet in an art center. So there's nothing about our venue that necessarily says church on its own. But we want it that way. We want people to be attracted to our church who wouldn't normally darken the doorstep of a church building. And nothing wrong with church buildings. I like stained glass, and I like, you know, cathedrals and all that stuff, and organs and hymns, all that. But we want to be intentional about what we believe God's called us to do. And there's other places that people can go and get that and experience that. Mm-hmm. But what we don't believe there's enough of is churches that are passionately and effectively reaching people who are far from God. And so that's what we're about. So we have, I think somebody related it to a nightclub. I don't necessarily wouldn't, but, you know, because we have, like, intelligent lights and stuff for our stage, and, you know, pretty good sound system. And the important thing to remember with our church, we're not trying to be anything. I'm young, you're young. We live in the culture. We're a reflection of you know, God in the culture that we live. So we're not trying to be cool. We're young, okay? So we're going to be what we are. We're not trying to impress anybody. We do things that we like. We do things that are relevant within our context. So, so I think because there's this authenticity about recognizing the culture that we live in and wanting to, you know, God to be evident in that, that I think people are attracted to that.
For sure. So then talking about kind of keeping up with the modern times and our social culture right now, you have a lot of media involvement and social media as well. Tell me a little bit about that and how many people are following, if you, I can't remember your tweets or if it's just Facebook or...
So we are on Twitter. You know, we're, again, being relatively new, and it's like starting anything. What's in our heart to do can only be done as we have the resource to pull it off. And so, like on Twitter, we're relatively active on Twitter, probably more active on Twitter than Facebook because I'm more active on Twitter personally.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. Our church is on there. And I didn't have anybody to manage it for a while. Just now I got somebody to manage that. So all that stuff, it's you know, when you have somebody who's good at what they do and can manage it, then you have more influence in that area. But as far as having media, again, that just comes back to that's something that interests me. I mean, I'm kind of a gadget nerd and geek, and again, I like marketing and branding. So that's a natural inclination that I have. So, and then even in relationships, I'm attracted to people, or people may be attracted to me in terms of similar interests who are into that sort of thing. So, so with that being said, yeah, we have videos that we use in every service. We call them bumper videos to kind of set the tone of the series and kind of set the, I think of it kind of like the little intro for a TV show. You know, do you really need an intro for a TV show? No, but you have one because it kind of sets that expectation of what the show's about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of to set that expectation of what the feel of this series is about. We teach in series. Again, nothing wrong with not doing that, but for it just is helpful for me because it helps with my thought process to know what I'm going to be speaking about. Helps people kind of get an idea, okay, what's this church focusing on? Where are we going as a church? What do I know is going to happen on Sunday? So if I want to invite my friends, what can I tell them?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of branding media in that. And we have teams of people that help with that. There's a lot of that I have done myself just because I have some natural skills in that. And again, when you're first starting out, everything's falls on you. Now that we're bigger, there's more people involved. So.
Mm-hmm. So then in terms of having these series teachings, how do you pick what your series will be about?
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I put it away before you came out here, but I plan out my series a year in advance. So we have a team meeting and we make, do you want me to show it to you?
Or
sure. Is this, okay. Because it'll be easier to explain this way. I'll pull it out here. So.
That's awesome.
Like for this, we have a team meeting, and we make this, I call it the wall of sermons, right? And we mark out our calendar. Then we kind of think, okay, what's going to be going on in our calendar? We got Mother's Day, that's going to be big. KU graduation,
mm-hmm.
Okay, is that anything we need to be thinking about? St. Patrick's Day, is that a holiday? What about, you know, Halloween or, you know, just different things and that are going to be going on. So we try to match our sermons with the rhythm of the calendar of our culture. And so, you know, like March Madness, like that's can be a big thing around here, right? So what I'm talking about. Or, okay, we got February and there's Valentine's Day. So people are going to be thinking about relationships, maybe should do a relationship series. So we kind of plan that out, and then it is a whiteboard, so I leave some room for if I, you know, want to rethink something. For instance, we had spoiler alert on there, which was going to be a series on Revelation. But then I decided I didn't want to do that coming right after Easter, so we did something else.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to go and backtrack a little bit. I don't think I actually asked in what year Velocity started.
Yeah, we started meeting regularly at night in 2010.
Okay.
So it kind of depending on who you ask, that could be our start. I don't really look at that as our start because we were meeting at night and we never wanted to be a night church. When mm-hmm. we started at night, we had a lot of college kids come. We still have a lot of college kids come, but we're primarily a college kid church. And, you know, within that, it's hard to start a church with just a bunch of college kids if that's all you ever have. And, you know, my wife and I are married, we have kids, so we wanted to essentially target people who, in terms of people who are far from God, essentially target, reach out to those people who are young families, and young families weren't going to necessarily bring their kids to church at night because they got school in the morning and so on and so forth. So so we met at night for almost a year, and then we got into the Arts Center in the mornings in August, and then we kicked off, we kind of had our grand opening in September of 2011.
Great. And then I also meant to ask earlier too, why the name Velocity? Yeah. Where does that come from?
Yeah, well, you know, starting a church is a lot like, and naming a church, starting anything really, it's a lot like having a kid and naming a baby. You know, you want the name, it's pretty important, but so we put a lot of thought into it. So there's a few things that went into it. One, we wanted a name that people had never heard of before, because, you know, there's so many, we definitely would be church not as usual.
Right.
So that was part of it. I also wanted to get the domain, the web domain, velocitychurch.org. And when I thought of the name, that was still available when we had decided. Consequently, by the time I was ready to purchase it, it wasn't available. But so anyway, so that was part of it. But really, more than that, it comes, and so we wanted something that was, one, we also wanted to, I think there's not enough men in church, so I wanted something that sounded kind of masculine. More than any of that, there's two things. We wanted to ignite a move of God in this city. And I think it kind of goes with our mission of bringing those far from God near to life in Christ. So having a destination that you're moving towards.
Great. So then what do you mean by igniting a move of God? What is, what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's like a lot of people who are complacent in their faith, and there's a lot of people who have given up on having and knowing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so within our culture, that's what that means, to ignite a move of God. You know, a move of God, that's something that, you know, if you Google that, it's always used to describe times where people, where there is a passion moving towards Jesus Christ, and so people talk about, you know, you can look at anything through, I've talked to you, so you know, anything through church history, you know, Christian history, and things like the Protestant Reformation, or healing revivals in the 50s, or even things, you know, the Jesus movement in the 70s, different things like that could be described as move of God. Basically what I mean is to see people passionately returning to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Great. So then in terms of your own role in getting Velocity going, what have your days looked like? It's a big project to get something going.
It is, yeah. it's a good question. Now, one of the things I left out of the story with moving here is I was working a job while serving at that church, and things were going great. I mean, I was making great money, and I was getting offered all sorts of promotions, and that was a really hard time for me because I was like, man, I really feel like I'm supposed to start this church, but I'm getting these offers to go all these other places, going to places in Iowa, close to where my wife grew up, place got off to go like to Billings, Montana, and like that was, my wife and I went out to look at it and like loved it out there, just the scenery and everything. And all these places, and offered more money than I've ever made, and just none of them sat right with me. And I was getting kind of frustrated. I was like, man, I feel like I'm supposed to start a church, but I don't know the first thing about starting a church. And growing up on the mission field, you know, my family, we were really poor. So they'd itinerate and come back, and it just seemed like such not a good way to do things. I really didn't want to make my family suffer because I was doing what I felt God was leading me to do. And so I was like, man, how is this going to work? And it was in that moment, my wife and I, we had this conversation. I was like, I don't know what we really believe. You know, is God real or isn't he real? Is he calling us to do this or is he not calling us to do this? If he is, then we believe that he's going to provide. So we said, all right, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but we are going to start positioning ourselves to make this move to Lawrence, Kansas to start this church. And it was a week to the day after we made that decision that I got a call from the district manager of the company I was working for at the time, the district manager for Kansas. And I had not applied for a job or anything like that here in Kansas with him. Hadn't even told anybody that I was planning on coming down here. But I got a call from him, and he said, hey, Justin, I know who you are, and I know what you're doing up there, and I want to offer you the opportunity to come work for me in Kansas. So I was like, okay, this sounds, I mean, it's kind of crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
But I was like, where are you thinking? Because, you know, he could send me out to Liberal, Kansas, or Colby, Kansas, and we had already settled on Lawrence. I said, well, I was thinking somewhere between Topeka and Kansas City. Okay, well, I'll come check it out, and, you know. So we came down, checked it out. Of course, we're here now, so the shortest they paid to move us down here. And so the first year I lived in Topeka and just was faithful working for that organization. The next year we moved to Lawrence, and we spent a year just getting to know this community, putting down some roots in this community, because we didn't want to start this church coming from the outside in. We wanted it to be an organic thing where it comes out of the community. And then from there, you asked about my schedule, what it looks like to get us started. I've been bivocational, and you know, God really used that to provide, because it was an increase in what I was making, and my schedule was pretty flexible. But anyways, that's, you know, what my schedule looks like was I was a sales manager, so I was working basically from 8 to noon. Then I'd have a block of time, like 8 hours free from noon to 8 or noon to 7. And then I'd go back and work from like 8 to midnight. And that's, that's kind of how we did things. And of course, you know, it's varied, so sometimes it's longer days than that. But, so within that, how did we get started? We were here for a year. Am I doing too much talking?
No, you're good.
Okay. I'm just trying to fill, answer, you know, everything I can think that you're going to be asking. So, we were living here for a year and began to put down roots in the community. And as we'd meet people and make relationships, and they'd kind of ask our story, and we'd tell our story, and we'd get to know them. And I'd always ask people this question as we get to know them. tell them our story about how we moved here, what God had put on our heart, basically all the stuff that I told you, mm-hmm. a little bit more condensed maybe. And I would say, you know, if you could do anything for the kingdom of God, money wasn't a problem, and you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? They'd tell me, you know, well, what they would do, what their life's dream was maybe, or what their life's dream in terms of doing something significant for God. And I said, well, this is what we would do. You know, we would start this church, and this is what it would look like, and it would, you know, it would be for people, you know, who maybe they've been burnt out on church before, maybe they've had bad church experience before, and they could come and they could really experience a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ. It'd be a place where people could belong before they could leave. Be a place that I could, that you can invite your friends to. You know, be a place that would bring those far from God near to life Christ. This is what that would look like. And very often people, you know, what they would say would be something similar. So, you know, it sounds like what you would do is pretty similar to what we would do. Maybe, just maybe, God's calling us to do it together. And, you know, when you look in the Bible, God always called people in teams to do things. Would you consider helping us out? It takes 9 months to grow a baby. Would you give us 9 months to see where this thing goes? And so we did that with about 25 people, and had a team of about 25 people that were willing. Some of them knew us better than others. Some didn't know us so well. They're like, this sounds exciting. We're going to give this a try. It's a 9-month commitment, and let's see what happens. And so I did this in my spare time, you know, while working another job. And then in the meantime, kind of connecting with people and just starting a church.
That's awesome. So then, for all of you that were kind of coming together in this 9-month plan, then, in terms of getting things started and getting people to come, yeah. It was primarily word of mouth, or as you mentioned earlier, I remember seeing the yard yeah. signs and the Find Velocity. How did you get people to start coming?
Yeah, so we started, you know, it was largely word of mouth. And I had this idea, like, what if we, and we didn't have much money, so, you know, anything that you spend money on is, you're trying to stretch every penny. So I'm like, all right, what if I found online, we get these like political yard signs for like, I think it was $2 for a sign and like $1 for the stand. So we got 100 of them for $300. And I said, you know, what if we get these and let's just put them all over the city, and to, right before our kickoff, to let them know that we're starting. Everybody was excited about that. So we tried that. And it honestly worked really well, except we got in trouble and we had to take them down. But even to this day, so we've been, I mean, that was 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago that we did that. And we still get people on our little connection card. People fill out when they come, how'd you hear about us? They say yard signs. So, I mean, it worked. And so we did that. We did some Facebook ads early on. Uh-huh. We haven't done those for a long time because Facebook has changed so much. But we did some Facebook ads, and those were relatively okay. And, you know, Twitter, social media. Yeah. We asked everybody to leverage their own personal networks. And so our first kickoff at night, we had 85 people.
Show that's up. Huge.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great first kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I don't want to take too much more of your time as I see the class kind of approaching 6:00. But
we're good till they'll call me.
No worries. But yeah, I just wanted to see, do you have any other great stories or memories from your time or anything that should go on the books for records?
Yeah. Yeah, I got all sorts of stories and memories, but let's see what's going to be. You know, so when we, like, one of the good ones is when we, for our grand opening, when we switched to morning service, grand opening, we saved up some money and we were going to do a big mailer to let everybody know about our grand opening. And we spent, I think it was almost like $8,000 on this. And there's a problem with the post office, and the mailers didn't go out until, some of them went out the Saturday before, others didn't go out till Monday, and then some of them never even went out. So that was, you know, kind of a downer. But, yeah. You know, we've kept going, and it's really God's blessed us in spite of everything. The story of our church that I think is kind of cool is we started this church with $16,000. So $6,000 of that was money that Marissa, my wife and I had saved up. The other $10,000 of that, well, $5,000 came from one church that sponsored us at $500 a month for the first year. And then the rest was money that we raised. And $16,000 is nothing when you're starting anything, but starting a church. A lot of churches that start, they start being planted out of another church. So the pastor's salary is paid, or plus they have $100,000 worth of equipment and all these things like that. But that's not our story. And for a long time, it really frustrated me that wasn't our story, because I felt like we had a lot of good things going on. If we could just find somebody who would support us, and we could really just explode and make a difference. But anyways, God had to do a work in me that wasn't supposed to be our story. And our story was just supposed to be, you know what? We've just been faithful with what God's given us. And as we've been faithful with what He's given us, just look what He's done. It's been really amazing. We've had over 100 decisions for people making a first-time decision or making a fresh commitment of committing their life to Christ and since we started, which is pretty amazing. We've seen, you know, personally as a pastor and meeting couples, it's not really so much, it's easy for me to get focused on the numbers and how many people are showing up and all that stuff. But more than that, it's really how many stories of couples who were on the brink of divorce, and through getting plugged into a church that found healing, now their life has changed. And they're not just on the brink of divorce now, they're able to, you know, minister and mentor other couples that are going through a rough patch. It's people that were feeling lonely and depressed are feeling like they had absolutely no value, you know, finding that they have absolute value in one in Jesus Christ, but then even just in place in the church where they're making a difference and they're gifted and we couldn't do what we do without them. So really those stories are the ones that matter at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And seeing people's lives change.
Awesome. Well, I'll call it good with that.
Okay.
But thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, I look forward to having you join us sometime.
I'll be there.